I'm also very happy when Fred and Monica come. They come every year, maybe every 2 years. Sometimes they go over there to Mission Heights because Fred and Monica come representing Compassion. A lot of you know Compassion. Our Sunday school kids have sponsored Compassion Kids for a number of years, and many of us have done that as well. Sheen and I have, man, I don't. We're on like our third rotation of kids that have aged out of the program. We started it because our friends John and Beth Hughes, when we were younger, way younger, and had small kids, they researched, you know, what's the best missions outfit we can do to support kids that are in poverty and struggle places. They researched a bunch of these different ministries, all of which were great, but they determined that Compassion was the most efficient. And I can give testimony to that because Sheena and I went to Peru a few years ago, some of you may remember, and checked out that all of that paperwork and all of these things. It was great stuff. But I'm so thankful that Fred and Monica have got such a passion for Compassion, and Fred is going to come and bring his little word of the Lord for us today. And also, you have opportunity to sponsor kids right there on that table. You can go out, and it's like a 2 minute adoption. Instead of waiting 5 years, you can do it in like 2 minutes. And so we'd really, really encourage you if you have space in your life to support. Really, it ends up being like a whole family most of the time. Fred and Monica will give you details on it. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to. But let's pray for Fred, and then he'll come and deliver the word. Almighty God, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to make a difference in lives around the world. Lord, we know that your eyes are upon the widows and the orphans. And you give us a direct instruction, Lord. Look after these people. Look after these folks who are in desperate and dire need. And Lord, you know, just in Bible study there, we're studying Amos pretty quick, and he's so blunt that if we're not looking after the poor, if we're not caring for those in need, if we're not looking after the oppressed and the orphans, then our songs and our sacrifices of praise don't mean much. And so as Fred comes, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint him and that you would flow through him and that our hearts would be open to all that you want to do within us through the message that Fred brings today. We pray through Christ. Amen. All right, brother.
Thank you. All right. Well, good morning. Thank you. We were here 2 years ago to open God's Word with you and to share about the ministry of Compassion, and we are counted a real privilege that you would invite us back to do that again this morning. For those of you that are newer to Grand Prairie Church of Christ, this church was our home church from 2000 till 2014 when we moved to Edmonton. And this church really ministered to us as a family. Our son, Matt, was baptized in this church right over there. Our daughter Rebecca and her husband were married by Pastor Allen. And then our oldest daughter, Rachel, who suffered many health crises, was covered in prayer year after year by this church. Coming to this church on Sunday mornings was the highlight of Rachel's week. She just absolutely loved the fellowship here. So we feel very loved and cared for, and we have very warm feelings when we step back into this building. 2 years ago, I shared with you an amazing life-changing experience that Monica and I had where we were invited to join Compassion Canada on a field trip to the Dominican Republic. And since then, we have actually been privileged to return to the Dominican Republic two more times and spend time with our Compassion Kids in that country. And I want to share some of those stories with you this morning. But before we do that, I think it's important for us again to start with God's Word and to just look into both the Old and the New Testament to see God's heart for the poor and what he expects of each one of us concerning the poor. 2 years ago, we looked at verses in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Proverbs from the Old Testament. And this morning, I'd like us to look at two passages of Scripture from the Old Testament, a passage in Jeremiah chapter 22, and then another passage in Isaiah chapter 58. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 22, God is confronting King Jehoiakim for not following in the ways of his father Josiah. Jehoiakim was intent on expanding and refurbishing his cedar palace, and he really didn't care who he stepped on to get that done. And so with that as background, we'll pick up the passage starting at verse 15. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Is that not what it means to know me? Part of growing in knowing God will be us growing in compassion towards the poor. God's heart is concerned for the poor, and if God is transforming our hearts to be more like him, then our hearts will increasingly have compassion towards the poor. We see this same theme again in Isaiah chapter 58, and here by way of background, God is confronting his people who are exiles in Babylon. They have been liberated to return to the land of Israel. Preceding this chapter, God's people have been given great promises of a future Messiah that span from chapters 49 through chapter 55. One might assume that between the great promises that they had received, as well as the decree by King Darius that they could return to their own land, that God's people would be rejoicing and that they would be seeking to follow him. However, Isaiah 58 opens with God confronting his people with their compartmentalized lives. In the religious compartment of their lives, they prayed and they fasted. And in the everyday compartment of their lives, they exploited others and they were violent to others. So with that, let's open up the passage beginning at verse 5. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth in ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. Here again, we see God's heart for the poor. I know all of us here today yearn. We feel God's Spirit pulling us, drawing us to know him better. And we all would desire to be able to hear the Lord clearly say, like he does in verse 9, "Here am I." When we love the poor, we are close to God's heart. But the main part of this passage is really talking about fasting, and so we'll dwell there for a minute on fasting. Now, we typically think, or at least I do, of fasting as denying ourselves something that we like so that we could set aside more time, like maybe food, skip a meal or two, so that we could pray to seek God either for ourselves or for someone else. God defines fasting in quite a different way. Let us just reflect on what we read. In verse 6 of Isaiah 58, to treat others justly rather than as a means to get what we want. In verse 7, to share our food with those who are hungry. And in verse 10, to spend ourselves on behalf of the hungry. Again in verse 7, to provide that poor wanderer with shelter, to give them a place to belong. Verse 7, to clothe those who lack clothing. And from both verses 6 and 10, to meet the needs of the oppressed. As God's children, as we experience God's love, He transforms us to reflect His love to others. God's definition of fasting here in Isaiah chapter 58 are acts of love. These acts of love are so close to God's heart that when they flow out of us, God promises that we will find ourselves close to Him. Well, let us move into the New Testament, where we see from Jesus' own words, God's heart for the poor in the parable of the sheep and the goats from Matthew 25. I confess, I shared this passage with you 2 years ago, but it is so profound that I would like us to look at it again this morning. Putting this parable into the context of the broader gospel, we know that from chapter 21 through chapter 25, that we are in the last week before our Lord would be crucified. The religious leaders' opposition to Jesus was becoming very intense. They were opposing Jesus' authority at every turn. And it is in this context that we come to the parable of the sheep and the goats. This parable of the sheep and goats is the last public teaching Jesus gives. 2 days later, He would be crucified. We'll only look at the first half concerning the sheep this morning, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Jesus states in the presence of both His disciples as well as those who opposed Him that He was coming back to this earth in glory to reign. And when He comes back, He will come with the entire army of heaven. All the angels come with Him. When Jesus comes back, all the inhabitants of the earth will be brought before Him, and He will divide all people into one of two groups. Carrying on in verse 34, then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Here, Jesus is looking at the outcome of a transformed heart. Here in dividing the sheep and the goats, He does not say to the sheep that they are blessed because they prayed the sinner's prayer. He does not say to the sheep that they are blessed because they believe the right creed. He is saying that they are blessed Because out of the transformed heart that God has given them, they are sharing God's love with those around them. Jesus expects us to be on the path of transformation, of reflecting his love to others, becoming more like him. As we read this parable, can we not hear the echo from Isaiah chapter 58? In the parable, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And from Isaiah 58, to share our food with the hungry and to spend ourselves on behalf of the hungry. From the parable, I was a stranger and you invited me in. And from Isaiah 58, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, to give them a place to belong. From the parable, I needed clothes and you clothed me. From Isaiah 58, when you see the naked, to clothe them. And finally, from the parable, I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And from Isaiah 58, both verses 6 and 10, to meet the needs of the oppressed. The words of Jesus in the parable of the sheep are a mirror of Isaiah chapter 58. The criteria for dividing the sheep and the goats is totally consistent with the heart of God that has been displayed throughout the Old Testament and now finds its fulfillment in Jesus. I would like to return to Jesus' reply to his sheep, those he calls righteous, in verse 40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." It is amazing that Jesus so identifies with those in need that when we help them, Jesus says that we are ministering to him personally. In our everyday, ordinary lives, we have the opportunity of encountering Jesus in the people we meet who are in need. We have the opportunity to minister to Jesus if God opens our eyes to and graces us to really see the people that cross our paths. Many of us pray, and I know I have prayed, "Lord, help me to see others through your eyes." And that prayer is good, but in view of this parable, it's not quite complete. And so now I'm trying to pray, "Lord, help me to see others through your eyes. And Lord, help me to see you in the eyes of others." All of us here today who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ are in the process of being transformed by God's love to reflect God's love. We are in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And this is God's ultimate calling on each of our lives. As this happens, we will more and more live out the parable of the sheep. We will feed the hungry, quench the thirst of the thirsty, welcome in the stranger, clothe those who lack clothing, take care of the sick, and visit those who are in prison. This is the outcome of a transformed heart. For the past 3 years, Monica and I have witnessed the transforming power of Jesus Christ in the lives of many poor children and their families through the ministry of compassion. 2 years ago, I shared with you our experience on that field trip, and I'll just recap it briefly for you. But we had 5 days where we visited 4 churches that had partnered with compassion, the communities around these churches that the churches served, as well as the national office in the DR. Compassion's mission is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Compassion is Christ-centered. Only Jesus can truly change lives and create hope. Compassion is church-driven. Compassion partners with local churches in 29 countries to provide the resources for the local church to meet the needs in the local community. And lastly, compassion is child-focused. Compassion cares for the complete needs of every child in the sponsorship program: spiritual, emotional, physical, and intellectual development. Each child spends on average 6 hours per week at the local church. Each child is discipled in Christ, is tutored to advance educationally, has access to medical attention when ill, is given safe places to play and socialize, and they receive food to supplement the meager food supplies that are found in many of these impoverished communities. Monica and I have seen all of this with our own eyes. It really is true what they say. These children live in tough communities where drugs, gangs, and violence are common. And we have seen firsthand, as we toured the communities around these churches, that the children indeed are living in just stark poverty. The poverty grinds children and adults down to a place of hopelessness and despair, to a place where they see themselves and others as worthless. But these children come into these church centers where the tutors truly love them in Jesus' name. They consistently reflect into their lives that they do matter. They are made in the image of God, that God loves them, and that God has a plan for their lives that is full of hope for the future. On our field trip, we looked into the eyes of so many children who are in that program. And it seems to Monica and myself that, like the parable of the sheep, Jesus is identified with them. They were hungry and thirsty, but now satisfied. They were strangers and are now included in God's family. They needed clothes, and now they're clothed. Some of them were sick, and now they're taken care of. They were all trapped in prison, in a prison of hopeless poverty, but now they have hope. If we believe Jesus' words in this parable, to see them in their need is to see Jesus. And Monica and I felt that when we looked into the eyes of these children, we were looking into the eyes of Jesus. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, beyond that first field trip, we've been blessed to return to the Dominican Republic in both 2024 as well as 2025, earlier this year. And we have seen the transforming power of Jesus Christ time and time again in the lives of the sponsor children that we have in that country. And it impacts not only the child, but their family and even the community that these children live in. And I would like to share just one example with you this morning. Let me introduce you to Carrie Annie. Carrie Annie was 8 years old when we began to sponsor her in 2021. In 2022, we had the opportunity of having a compassion virtual call with Carrie Annie and her grandparents when she was 9. Carrie Annie lives with her grandparents because her father was killed while serving as a police officer. We had a great time on that call. That was a little bit awkward, as some of my jokes, when they got translated into Spanish, they didn't land that great. But we really did have a good time getting to know each other. Towards the end of that call, we learned that Grandpa had been diagnosed with throat cancer. And we thought, God, you got to spare him. He's like one of the only godly influences in this little girl's life. We learned that Compassion had created a fund for his treatment. And we added Grandpa to our prayers, asking that God would spare him. In 2023, on that first field trip to the DR, we couldn't go out to where Carrie Annie lived. The itinerary had been set, but they brought Carrie Annie and her auntie into the city where we were, and along with a couple of the staff from the local Compassion office there. And we had about 3 hours together. We had a hamburger meal together, and then we went into a trampoline park and just had fun together for a couple of hours. I even jumped on a trampoline. I have pictures to prove it, but Anyway, you know, through that, we learned a little bit more about Aunt Crismelli, as well as more about Carrie Annie. And she just seemed like this wonderful young lady who loved Carrie Annie. And we added Aunt Crismelli to our prayers, asking that God would draw her to himself. In 2024, we returned to the Dominican to visit all of our kids around the island. And we were privileged to be invited into Carrie Annie's home, where Grandma and Grandpa had brought out the entire extended family to meet us. It was quite humbling. Again, we had a great time there. And we were blessed to see that 2 years later, Grandpa looked healthy. It's just beautiful. At the end of that visit, back at the church center, Carrie Annie's tutor shared with us that God is working through Carrie Annie as a natural leader with her peers. Her tutor also leaned over to me towards the end of that visit and said to me, yesterday, this was Monday, the day before was Sunday, yesterday, Aunt Crismelli gave her heart to Jesus at this church. Now, earlier that day, when we were still back at Carrie Annie's home, we saw Carrie Annie's half-brother, 3 years old, named Kevin. And he was sleeping so deeply in this small house, despite all the noise we were making. Like, we thought, man, this kid's got to be really tired to sleep through this. It wasn't until we were on our way back to the church center later that day that we learned Kevin has type 1 diabetes. And we thought to ourselves, oh my gosh, like, was that kid in a sugar coma? You know, what was going on? And so we asked Compassion. We said, you know, you got to follow up. You got to find out what community Carrie Annie's mom lives in with this little boy. And see, send somebody over to see if he's okay. We also had said, if it's possible, because it's a rigorous process. You don't just become a sponsor child. They put you through. They make sure that you really need to be a sponsor child. But if it's possible for Kevin to become a sponsor child, that we would take him. Because this little boy was going to need some love and some support, or he didn't have a very long future in this world. We were blessed about 2 months after our visit to find out that we had become Kevin's sponsor. And what I wanted to do is, that's the photo we got of Kevin when we first became his sponsor. And what I want to draw your attention to is how swollen and toxic his body is. His face is swollen. His arms are swollen. His legs are swollen. He is not a healthy little guy. So we returned to the Dominican Republic in March of this year, and again, we were privileged to visit Carrie Annie in her home, and we had asked ahead of time, you know, if it's possible, could you bring Carrie Annie's mom and Kevin over to that house so we might visit them as well? The physical transformation in Kevin is absolutely amazing. All the toxicity has left his body. And he is a healthy, very active 4-year-old boy. It's almost hard to believe it's the same child, but it really is. So what's the bottom line? Carrie Annie loves Jesus, and she is growing in her faith. Carrie Annie is advancing in her education because of the tutoring she receives. Grandpa and Grandma love Jesus. Grandpa is healthy. Aunt Crismelli has come to faith in Jesus. And in the year between the two visits, she is growing in her faith. And Kevin has been given a new physical life through the medical intervention of Compassion. The story of this one family is but one example of the transforming power of Jesus Christ in the lives of children and families in poverty around the world. I would like us to watch a 3-minute video where we can all hear firsthand the testimony of a fellow brother in Christ. His name is Richmond. He lives halfway around the world from us, of the impact that compassion had on him. Let's watch that together.
My father was taken away from us, and by that I mean he was murdered. Nothing was the same for me. News began to come to our doorstep. From our landlord, we got word that we couldn't stay in the house that we stayed anymore because we couldn't afford it. My mother had no job. My father was the only breadwinner. We moved from where we stayed to a place called Naguru Kasenke, which is one of Uganda's largest slums. I remember when my mom said to us there was no money for food. That ushered us into a place where we were now going to begin to go to the street to fend for food. As I lived like this on a daily basis, poverty began to speak to me as a child. I felt I was nothing. I didn't matter. Nobody cared to know my name. I think the best way I could describe who I was and what I thought is the word hopeless. My mother, in tears, approached one of her friends just to share with her friend, and her friend shared with her about compassion. Compassion staff members immediately came to our home. I remember them coming with files to get details of who we were, what our story was. I got the news that a young lady, Heather, she was 15 years old, a teenager. She had decided to sponsor me. I cannot find the words to describe the joy that filled our home when we got the news. That ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken away. Heather began to write to me. To hear words like, Richmond, I love you. Richmond, I'm praying for you. They began to bring healing into places that were destroyed by voices and poverty and my self-image. I remember my day, June the 3rd, 1996. I worked forward to accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I began to feel, wow, I have been released from poverty. Looking back into my life and thinking where I am right now and what I am doing, I don't think any of this would have been possible without compassion. Compassion works. Everything that was placed within the program has helped build me to who I am right now. Poverty is not just the lack of money, the lack of material, food, and water. Poverty is in, it's deep. I credit a lot of how I feel now about myself to those letters that I received from my sponsor. My name is Richmond Wandera, and I was released from poverty in Jesus' name.
This ministry of compassion is truly changing lives for eternity. Compassion is advancing God's kingdom, just like Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The World Bank estimated that last year, 755 million people lived on $2.25 or less per day. Worldwide, Compassion is working with 8,300 local churches in 29 countries to care for 2.3 million impoverished children. Yet in view of the global scale of poverty, there is so much more that needs to be done, and so much more that can be done if more children can be brought into Compassion's sponsorship program. On the table in the foyer, as you walk by, you've already seen it, there are sponsorship packets. Each sponsorship packet has the photograph of a child in desperate need of being shown the love of Jesus. The cost of sponsorship is $49 a month. The benefits are huge. God's kingdom will grow. A child's life will be changed. You will have the opportunity of ministering to Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, in our walk with Jesus as our Lord, helping those in need in the name of our Savior is not a nice take it or leave it option. The parable of the sheep from Matthew 25, God's word from Isaiah 58 and Jeremiah 22 are very clear. As God's children, God expects us to be on the path of becoming more like Him. What is close to God's heart is what is supposed to become close to our hearts. And sponsoring a child through compassion is one way that this can happen. And I'm just asking, as you go past that table, that you look at the photographs of the children and that you look at their eyes. Give the Spirit of God the opportunity to show you the eyes of Jesus. For less than the cost of a medium cup of coffee per day, you and I can sponsor a child through compassion. As you heard from Richmond's testimony, the letters that sponsors write to their sponsor children can have an incredible impact. And you can be involved in your child's sponsor child's life through letter writing if you have the time. If you have children or grandchildren, it's a great opportunity to involve them with your sponsor child. It will give them the opportunity to see children in poverty through the eyes of Jesus. I have been so eager to share with you this morning what we have experienced. We are convinced that through compassion, God's kingdom is growing, that children's lives are being changed, and that Jesus Christ is being ministered to. We are convinced to the point of altering our life goals and priorities to be more involved in this ministry. Compassion's child sponsorship program is a great opportunity for God's people to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity this morning. God bless you all.